ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जायामुदीरहे नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीरुत्तमा श्लोके भक्तिरभवती नैष्टकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः।
श्रीमद्भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 23 द ब्राह्मणस वाइफ ब्लेस्ड टेक्स्ट 2। श्री सुक उवाच इति विज्ञापितो गोपेर भगवान देवकी सूत भक्ताया विप्र भार्याया पारिषदन इदम् अब्रावित। श्रीशुक उवाच इति विज्ञापितो गोपेर भगवान देवकी सुत भक्ताया विप्रभार्याया परिषदान इदम् अब्रवीत। श्रीशुक उवाच इति विज्ञापितो गोपेर भगवान देवकी सुत भक्ताया विप्रभार्याय परिषदान इदम् अब्रवीत। श्रीशुक उवाच इति विज्ञापितो गोपेर भगवान देवकी सुत भक्ताया विप्रभार्याय परिषदान इदम् अब्रवीत। Shri Shuka Uvacha, Shri Sukadev Goswami said, iti
does. Vignapita, informed. Gope, by the coward boys. Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Devaki Suta, the son of Devaki. Bhaktyaya, his devotees. Viprabharyaya, the wives of the Brahmanas. Prasidan, desiring to satisfy. Idam, this. Abravit, he spoke. Translation: Sukadeva Goswami said, thus entreated by the coward boys, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the son of Devaki, replied as follows. Desiring to please certain of his devotees who were Brahmana's wives. Text 3. Lord Krishna said, please go to the sacrificial arena where a group of Brahmanas learned in the Vedic injunctions are now performing the Angirsrasa sacrifice to gain promotion to heaven. Text 4. When you go there, my dear coward boys, simply request some food. Declare to them the name of my elder brother, the Supreme Lord Balram, and also my name, and explain that you have been sent by us. The us, the U.S. capital. Purport by his divine, by the disciples of divine grace, Srila A. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. Purport. Lord Krishna encouraged his coward boys to request charity without being embarrassed. In case the boys felt they had no right to personally approach such respectable Brahmanas, the Lord told them to mention the names of Balram and Krishna, the holy names of God. Om Jnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patita Nam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivas Adi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Krishna Hare Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So we are ending one exciting chapter and entering into another very exciting chapter. As we go through this beautiful scripture, Srimad Bhagavatam, we are exposed to some of the most fascinating aspects of God. God who is so very difficult to understand. You know, they are great, great, knowledgeable, austere personalities who spend years to really understand, and still they find it very difficult to understand God. But here, by the great mercy of our acharyas and by the mercy of course, Sukadev Goswami, we are entering into the most esoteric leelas of the Lord through the process of Shravanam. It is something like, you know, we are we are in a place where the sound is guiding us. Sometimes we have this, not so much in India, but when you go abroad, we have this GPS facility, global positioning system, where you just enter your destination and the person speaks, take a left, take a right, take a roundabout, and that's how he guides you to the destination. That's called TomTom. So through the sound vibration, you are taken to your destination. You don't know how to go. You just say that, this is my postcode. You just enter the postcode and you will say, find the shortest route, and it finds the shortest route. And if suppose there is a traffic there, you say alternative route, it goes to the alternate route. So it is all fed into that program which is run by the satellites. So it is called GPS. So through the sound vibration, you get the direction. But the whole idea of this GPS obviously came from the Srimad Bhagavatam. Because it is through this very, very holy scripture, or through the process of hearing, we don't know this destiny, we don't know the spiritual world. We are completely, but we know where we need to go there. By the mercy of Guru and Krishna, we know that we need to go to the spiritual world, but we don't know how to go. But we know, we have the vehicle to go. Just like we have a car, we need to go to a destination. We have a car, we have the ability to drive, but we don't know the direction. What will a driver do with all his abilities, with all his facilities of a car, without really knowing how to go there? He might just be going round and round and spending hours just by the process of neti neti, not this, not this, not this, not this, not this way, not this way, not this way. Rather than going the long path of not this, not this, not this, our acharyas has given us a very clear understanding. Oh, you want to go there, just type the postcode and you can straight go there and we will guide you how to go there. Similarly, the Srimad Bhagavatam explains to us not only how to go to the spiritual world, but something more of what happens in the spiritual world. When you go there, what will you see? And by hearing what is happening there, you become qualified to go there. So the Bhagavatam takes you to every day. It is like a journey that we take every time we hear the Bhagavatam. Not every day, but every time we hear the Bhagavatam, it's like a wonderful journey that we are taking. And here we have reached a very interesting spot. It is explained that Krishna, after doing the wonderful leela of stealing the gopis' clothes, he took few of his very younger coward boys. He had gone there to the banks of Jamuna early morning, and he did this beautiful pastime to reciprocate with the love of the gopis of Vrindavan. So after doing that, after finishing his duty, we find a very interesting thing. As we see the verses in the previous chapter and in this chapter, there's one aspect of the Lord very wonderfully coming up, very, very nicely portrayed through His activities. Through the activities, we can understand a person's personality. If a person gets angry every now and then, we can say that he's a very irritable personality. The moment he just gets angry at every small thing. So he said he's an irritable personality. So when you see something happening constantly, that gives rise to understanding that is his personality. Now, if the moment somebody gets some time, he just goes to sleep, then that's his attraction, that's his personality, to be in sort of in the mode of ignorance, to just go to sleep. Similarly, what is the personality of Krishna? And I was just trying to understand that it is so difficult. I was trying to appreciate that it is so very difficult to understand the mind of even an ordinary living entity. The best example I can give is of a husband and a wife. They are staying together in the same house for years together. But still you ask a husband or the wife after 25 years of their marriage or 50 years of marriage, and they will say that Nothing wrong with the husband and wife as such. But just the sheer difficulty of understanding one's mind. I still don't understand the mind because I still can't predict how he or she will behave in a particular situation. You can predict to some extent most of the time, but not all the time. That's so difficult to understand people's mind. And what we are ordinary living entities. What talk of understanding the minds of higher living entities like the demigods? Lord, can anybody understand the mind of Lord Brahma? And what sort of mind he must be? He's just made of that. He's just mind. Can you even dream of understanding Lord Brahma's mind? What talk of that four-headed Brahma? What talk of Brahma with millions of heads? Impossible. But through our acharyas, we are getting a glimpse of what is there in Krishna's mind. The supreme person whom we cannot even dream of understanding. What talk of understanding an ordinary person? How can you even dream of understanding the mind of the supreme personality of Godhead? But through his activities, we can very well understand what is in his mind. So after having reciprocated with the gopis of Vrindavan, their desire, Krishna was very much cognizant of that desire, was very much aware of the desire. Even though it was never spoken to each other by words, it was all within the heart. Krishna was very cognizant of the fact that they were desiring him to be their husband. And Krishna, in a very wonderful way, satisfied their desires and assured them that we will spend good time in the very near future to rasa dance. He finished his duty. And then he goes on and we understand what is there in Krishna's mind. The one thing that is constant in Krishna's mind is the desire to constantly reciprocate love with his devotees. That's what is constantly in the mind of Krishna. Gopis finished. Then he goes and then he starts appreciating his friends. Oh, Sridhama, you are so wonderful. Oh, Subal, you are so wonderful. And there's a beautiful description in the Anabrindavan Champu of how he glorifies and reciprocates with his coward friends that you are so, as I say, Subal, you are so much white in color. It is just like your desires are so pure. Krishna glorified Lord Balram. And he was just reciprocating with his coward boys. And then he came across the trees of Vrindavan. Then he started reciprocating with love with the trees of Braj. He started glorifying them. Starting to give wonderful lessons through the trees of Vrindavan. How we should be constantly giving, giving and giving. Krishna is the supreme multitasker. I mean, we talk of multitasking. It is a word which has been coined very often nowadays. It's the world of multitasking. Krishna can do amazing multitasking. What is happening is Krishna is constantly every minute, every second, every millisecond reciprocating with millions and millions of devotees simultaneously. That's the epitome of multitasking. I mean, just imagine if you had a million screens open on your laptop. And you have 20, 25 screens, you get confused. What to talk of? I mean, you know, sometimes you open so many screens and you don't know where is what. Because something is here, the Excel sheet is here, the Word file is here, the emails is here and things. But Krishna has millions of pages in his heart opened to reciprocate love with his devotees. And here Krishna is finishing one and he says, now I want to reciprocate love with the wives of the brahmanas. So one task is over. Before the one task is over, Krishna starts his second task of reciprocation. And Krishna is explained by our acharyas, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, that Krishna is glorifying the trees of Vrindavan because he wanted to teach a lesson. Better to be trees than in the very near future, it will be shown, than be the learned brahmanas. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur explains, The Brahmanas are very, very learned, very austere, very knowledgeable, extremely famous. But Krishna, why is Krishna talking about the trees suddenly? Because that's the mind, that's the way Krishna's mind. You can try to do sort of mind mapping of Krishna. You can try to see how Krishna's mind is working. Krishna sees the trees that the Brahmana's wives in his mind and the Brahmana's in his mind, and he compares. Better to be these trees. Even though they are immobile, they are standing at one place, better be them because they are in the mood of giving. Because very soon he knew he was going to expose the Brahmanas, who will be exposed to be so miserly in giving. In spite of complete knowledge and powerful acts of austerities. So Krishna is glorifying the trees of Vrindavan in that mood. So we should understand our great fortune that right from the level of understanding God as the Brahman, we are rising above to understand God in the most wonderful form of Paramatma, and then to Bhagavan, and then to the most evolved aspect of Bhagavan. So Bhagavatam is a scripture which will, if you read between the lines, which will show us the supreme fortune of all of us to get access to such amazing pastimes of the Lord. What the Lord does in his private home. That's Srimad Bhagavatam. That's 10th canto of Bhagavatam. So to understand God is wonderful in his Bhagavan aspect. But in the most evolved Bhagavan aspect. Aradhya Bhagavan Brajesh Tanaya Taddhama Vrindavana. So he said, Aradhya Bhagavan Brajesh Tanaya. The most supreme Aradhya Bhagavan is Krishna, who is Vrajeshtanaya, who is the son of Nanda Maharaj. Krishna was also Dwarkadish. Krishna was also Mathuradish. But he is saying the most evolved understanding is Aradha Bhagavan of Vrajeshtanaya, who is the son of Nanda Maharaj. So we are understanding what the Supreme Personality of Godhead is doing. So one thing that we must understand, the supreme fortune of ours. It's important to understand the fortune that we have, lest we will not take things seriously. If we don't understand our fortune, the great mercy that has been showered upon us causelessly, we will never take it very seriously. And we must also understand, many a times when devotees spend, at least that's my problem, that we spend some time in Krishna consciousness, and you know, and we are trying to pray to Krishna, things don't happen many times the way we want or at the time that we want, then we feel that Krishna is a non-dynamic, insensitive, non-reciprocative person. We feel that, you know, is Krishna really a reciprocative, dynamic, responsive person? Because it's not happening the way I'm praying like intensely, but Krishna... So sometimes we get an understanding that Krishna is not a very dynamic, reciprocative person. He's a non-responsive person. Just imagine you dealing with a person like that. I'm sure all of us have an experience. Because there are people who are very warm by nature. You know, you just when you come to them, they are just warm with feelings and reciprocation. And you feel very nice with them. But by nature, some people are... That's the way they are made. Nothing wrong. I mean, nothing bad or good, but that's the way they are. That they are very sort of introvert and not externally very warm. I can't comment what is there internally, but externally you don't find their warmness. Now, many times, there's one devotee, I obviously will not name him, that I hug him very tightly. Prabhu, so nice to meet you. And he'll keep his hand like this only. I mean, you also hug, right? He will keep it and his body will... And then I feel, it's something, you don't feel the reciprocation sometimes. Sometimes you feel, you go to a person very happy. Prabhu, that's a nice news. Yeah, I know that. You know? So there's no reciprocation. So how do you feel when you deal with people whom you don't reciprocate? They are like stone. Pashan. Stone means no reciprocation. Because you can do anything to stone, it will not reciprocate. I had a very unusual experience. That sometimes, you know, you know, you bite a nice samosa, you know, three bite with your teeth. So your samosa is dealing with the teeth. So the teeth feels a lot of reciprocation and the tongue with the nice samosa. So I bit a samosa with my teeth. But little did I know that in the samosa there was a big stone. So obviously I was biting and my teeth were reciprocating with the samosa and enjoying. But as I was biting, I bit a stone right here. Even now it is paining me. I have to show to Muralidhar Prabhu. It was such a horrible experience in between the samosa, because you are blissfully, you know, biting, and then you just get punctured by this very, very horrible stone. And it chipped off my teeth. It injured my gums. And that's what I got to understand, that this is what it means, you know, when you're dealing with a reciprocative person versus a non-reciprocative person, what happens? Stone, what can it reciprocate? It is just so hard. All it can do is cause you trouble. But Krishna is not a hard-hearted, non-reciprocative, non-dynamic person. Krishna is supremely dynamic, supremely reciprocative, an agile person. In fact, that's the only thing that Krishna does, reciprocate. I mean, if you ask what is his job description, and what is the job description for 8 hours, what will you do? I'll do this, 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 this. What is Krishna's job description? Because everybody, as Krishna says in the Gita, everybody has to engage in work, is it not? Krishna says. So what is the work of Krishna? Everybody means Krishna is also included. What is Krishna's work? Of course, in one sense to enjoy, because he is supreme enjoyer. But how does he enjoy? By constantly sharing love and reciprocating love with his devotees. And that's the constant activity of Krishna. So Krishna does reciprocate, but he reciprocates in his own way. Because along with being a very, very reciprocative God, he also, fortunately, unfortunately, happens to be the supreme autocrat. So that the two qualities mix. And sometimes Krishna uses his supreme autocracy and reciprocates with us. He does reciprocate, he doesn't fail to reciprocate. But he reciprocates the way he thinks best for us. And that's where we think that Krishna is a non-reciprocated God, because it does not happen at the time that we think it should happen, or the way we should happen. Because he is autocrat also. If it was just reciprocating God, then he would just reciprocate the way we want. But that's not what Krishna is. Krishna is simultaneously the supreme autocrat, as Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur mentioned. So, the whole creation, if you see the activity that's happening, is constant reciprocation with the stimulus that we experience in our lives. There is a stimulus. The stimulus gives rise to some reaction, and we reciprocate to the reaction. On a lighter note, and I was just saying that how, I just came across this interesting, on a lighter note, and how is the government of India reciprocating with the citizens? Well, there's constant reciprocation going on. As I said, the constant thing that is happening in this world is reciprocation. Everybody is reciprocating with each other based on their mentality, based on their aptitude. So there is a discussion between the government of India and a citizen. He says, "What are you doing?" The citizen says, "Business." "Then you pay professional tax." "What are you doing in business?" "I'm selling goods." "Then you pay sales tax." "From where did you get your goods?" "From other areas, from other states, from abroad." "Pay central sales tax, custom duty and octroi." "What are you getting in selling goods?" "I get profit." Government says, "You pay income tax." "How do you distribute profit?" "You have profit, how do you distribute it?" "I pay dividend." "Then pay dividend distribution tax." "Where are you manufacturing the goods?" "In the factory." "Okay, then you pay excise duty." "Where do you have office, your factory or warehouses?" "I said, yes, I have a factory and warehouses." "Then you must pay municipal tax and fire tax."
Do you have staff? Yes. You must pay staff professional tax. Do you doing business in millions? Are you doing business in millions? Yes. Then you must pay a turnover tax. But I said, no, I don't do business in millions. Then you must pay minimum alternate tax, MAT. Are you taking 25,000 cash from your bank? You are withdrawing? Yes. Then you must pay cash handling tax. There's a new tax which has just come 2 days back. Where are you taking your clients for lunch and dinner? To a hotel. Then you pay food and entertainment tax. Are you going out for station for business? Yes, I'm going because I need to do business. Then you must pay fringe benefit tax. Do you take any services from others? Yes, I do. You must pay service tax. Do you get big amounts as gifts as part of a business? Yes, I do. You must pay gift tax. And have you purchased the property as part of your profit? Yes, I purchased the property. You must pay stamp duty and registration tax. Tax, tax, and tax. When you are dealing with people of this world, they will be simply taxing you. I was amazed to see how much tax we all are paying, by the way. Even the brahmacharis, we are paying that tax indirectly. This is the Kali Yuga. And what is Krishna? Krishna means to give, and give. When you are dealing with people of this world, we are having a mundane consciousness, then how I can get something from you? You're getting this benefit. How I can get it from you? Pay this tax. It's amazing to see this list. It is a serious list. It is not a joke or something. It is a serious list that all of us are engaged into paying this tax. Some of you are the other. But compared to that, when Krishna is glorifying the trees, in the few verses that we read, Krishna is glorifying how tree is in a mood of giving. No tax. How I can give you happiness, how I can give you bliss, how I can be used for others, how I can be in the mood of a sandalwood, getting rubbed, but giving pleasure and coolness to you. That is Krishna consciousness. So we must understand that reciprocation is a very, very integral part of our life. But what is it required to aptly reciprocate with people? As we understand, Krishna consciousness means to reciprocate with the love of the devotees, with the love of the spiritual master, and love of Krishna. But let us analyze what is it required to aptly or properly reciprocate. First of all, we must be aware what people are doing for others, for us. You know, how can we reciprocate if we don't know what people are doing? You know, somebody has done something for you, don't know. How will we reciprocate? What a mother has done, you don't know. How will you reciprocate with her? What some friend has done for you, you don't know. What will you reciprocate? The reason why we are not aware is because we are very, very minute living beings with very, very imperfect senses. Our senses don't really understand what's happening. So we are not very, very aware. And even if we are aware, many a times we find ourselves so very, it's so very difficult. We have so much of less avenues to reciprocate. And for example, you know, we have devotees in our congregation who do so much for us. So much. You know, sometimes we go to our house every month, there's some new book which comes from that devotee. You know, this is a gift for you, and he does this and that. And so many things that we know he does, or so many devotees do. And so many things that we don't even know what many devotees do for us, and as part of being our temple, part of being a congregation. But with such people, what do you really do? What can you do? You don't have anything to really reciprocate, because what can you do for these people? All you can say is just say thank you. Because that person doesn't need anything. And what can you really do? So one is to be aware. And even if you are aware, you find yourself so very, incompetent to really reciprocate. But just compare Krishna. Krishna is 100% cognizant of every single fact, every single relationship that he's having. So he's completely aware and he's supremely equipped to reciprocate. So here is Krishna, who is all-knowing, and who has unlimited resources to reciprocate. So we are trying to just understand the fact that how Krishna is such an amazing reciprocative God. Because when we want to repose our love in somebody, what is required? We require confidence. That do I have the confidence in putting my love? Before I really give my love, what to talk of? I mean, even if you're putting some money with somebody, you need to have the confidence. Will this guy take care of my money? Will this company take care of my money? And so do I have the confidence? That's why you have these ratings. There's a company who rates, okay, this person, the confidence level is triple A rating. So that we have confidence that he can take care of your money based on your track record. Similarly, we as devotees need to repose our love in Krishna. And for that, we need to have confidence in Krishna. We need to have confidence. And the way we can have confidence in Krishna is by hearing these activities. His Holiness Devamrita Swami Maharaj was explaining in one of the classes. He was saying that Krishna, through his activities, he shows that I can manage anything. I can manage the trees, I can manage the gopis, I can manage the brahmana's wives, I can manage the coward boys, I can manage all of them. So my dear friend, you can put all your love in me because I can manage everything. Krishna is trying to tell that through these wonderful pastimes. Devamrita Swami was wonderfully explaining. Because by that, we will get confidence in Krishna. That Krishna, you are such an amazing, reciprocative, dynamic, agile God. That I want to put all my love in you because I know you are going to reciprocate. Maybe the way you think it is right. Maybe not be the way I think it is right. But you are definitely going to reciprocate with me. So it is explained that Krishna is, you know, is so much intensely reciprocative because he's fully aware, fully cognizant, and has unlimited resources. As part of reciprocation, what is reciprocation? Reciprocation means exchange of love. And when you talk about exchange of love, we can say that there's exchange of love in the five rasas, right? Shantaras, Dasyaras, Sakiras, Vasiras, and Madhuriyaras. One of the aspects that is there as part of exchange of love between the Lord and his devotees is this feeling of what is called mamata, mindness. The Krishna is mine. The feeling of, the acharyas explained, the feeling of mamata or Krishna is mine. And because you start feeling that Krishna is mine, there is a feeling of possessiveness of Krishna. Mother Yashoda says that if Krishna, you don't eat food, you will fall sick because Mother Yashoda is possessive of Krishna. She is convinced out of her parental love that if Krishna doesn't get proper food, he will be sick because she is possessive as a mother. And similarly here, the coward friends are showing their mamata or their mindness, the divine mindness. That Krishna, you are, you know, you should take care of our hunger now. You know, we are hungry. Please do something about it. Right? Because you will say this to somebody only if you know that this person is mine, is very close to me. And you are hungry, you are sitting in a train, you will not tell the stranger, "Hey, bhook laga hai, thoda khana dena." You will not tell him because you know there is no mindness, there is no mamta in between strangers. But because the coward friends, the coward boys who are friends of Krishna, they are so close to Krishna, they're having such wonderful relationship with Krishna in the mood of Sakiras, there is this mamata or there is this possessiveness that Krishna, we are hungry. And it's explained by Anandabrindavan Chambu that our bellies have become like burning pots. And it's burning pots. We are very hungry and you must do something about it. Apparently, it appears to be a material desire. Kama sarva kama moksha, akama sarva kama va moksha kama udhar. That is explained that whatever desire you come to Krishna. Apparently, the coward boys are having material desires. You agree? You asking for food from Krishna. Is that right? Ahaituki apratiyata. You should do devotional service which is ahaituki apratiyata without any desire for gaining anything from Krishna. And what are the coward boys doing here? They're asking Krishna for some food to fill their bellies. Appears to be very, very, apparently very mundane. But is it really mundane? Because of this mamata, the possessiveness, we must understand the chemistry or the reason why this whole thing is happening. Why are the coward boys behaving the way they are behaving? Because the chemistry between Krishna and the coward boys is not one of an unknown person, or even a person who is closely known to you and you start asking something from him, but of intense attachment to each other, giving rise to this feeling of possessiveness, giving rise to this desire of telling Krishna, you do something for me. That is why I say, Amara palana bhara ekona tomar. I mean, under the saint said that, Darutamas Thakur says, that I am the most fallen, so the claim to your mercy is first mine. This is very close relationship. You don't really talk like this to people who you don't know. So it is not really material, it is completely transcendental. When I was reading this, this thought came to me because I was discussing with one devotee and he asked, Prabhu, but you know, why are they asking for food? They should not be asking for anything. And then I said, yes, this is the one way of thinking, but why is it the way it is? And the reason is because of this feeling of mamuta or possessiveness. And at the same time, our acharyas explained, it is not that the coward boys were actually hungry. They were actually hungry, but they were more concerned with the fact. Jiva Goswami explains and Vishnu Chakra Thakur also explains. They are more concerned with the fact that Krishna must be hungry, Balram must be hungry. And because they are hungry, let us ask food for them so that we are also satisfied, but mainly to satisfy Krishna. That is a higher understanding of serving the Lord. And sometimes when you tell somebody who is very renounced that you want something, no, I don't want. But you just do it for that person, then he accepts it. So Krishna, the coward boys were so intimately connected to Krishna as a first class servant. A first class servant is not to be told. He does it because he understands the mind of the master. Nityananda Prabhu broke the danda in three places. And explained, but Nityananda Prabhu knew the mind of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Externally, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was angry. Internally, he was very happy. Sending Pratap Rudra Maharaj to massage his feet. Apparently, devotees knew his mind that he actually will be happy because Pratap Rudra Maharaj is such a great devotee of the Lord. Similarly, the coward boys were so intimately connected to Krishna. They were such high-level transcendentalists that they said that actually Krishna must be hungry because he has gone since morning. He has done so much duties. He has been loitering around with his, you know, with all the animals and all the cows and, you know, walking. And now he's resting on one of the trees. He must be actually hungry. Let us go and find food for them. So actually it's explained. That is actually, they were not actually hungry just for themselves. But they were actually hungry for Krishna. And then is explained, Krishna explains to them very properly, that go to the forest and go and meet these great brahmanas. And he explained the brahmanas. They are very renowned, extremely knowledgeable, very, very pious personalities. You ask them. And he said, you don't ask them. And he told them very, very scientifically how to present. Sometimes we have to present, we have to do a presentation very scientifically based on the audience, isn't it? All the preachers, you know, what is the audience? It's a youth crowd. Okay, we have to change the presentation based on what appeals to the youth. Oh, it is a senior Vaishnavas, Varishta Vaishnavas. Change the presentation. So based on the crowd, we have to talk accordingly. So Krishna said, well, you are going to talk to the brahmanas and they are very, very calculative by nature. Very calculative. So they will do things only if it fits in their calculation. You tell them that Lord Balram is here, and then you can tell my name because Balram is born in a Kshatriya, you know, is a Kshatriya by birth, and I'm a Vaishya by birth. And the Brahmanas will evaluate things in a very, very, you know, hierarchical way. And there is a hierarchy. Oh, Kshatriya is better than Vaishya. Okay, take the food. So very, very calculative. So because they're very, very calculative, Krishna, it said, that you call the brahmanas. And why did Krishna send them to the brahmanas first and not to their wives? Again, it is explained by the acharyas that Krishna wanted to devotees to understand what is in their mind.
Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale is explained. Rupa Goswami understood the Manobhista, the mind's desire of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That's why it is, he is glorified like that. Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swampadantikam. So he said, the Manobhista, what is the mind of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? It is so difficult to understand. That's why we have this beautiful story. Rupa Goswami writes these verses and puts it under, tucks it under the heart of Haridas Thakur. He said, how did he understand my mind, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says. These are all my internal emotions. How did, Rupa Goswami understand my mind, isn't it? It's because you have supremely blessed him, he has understood your mind. So to understand the mind is very, very difficult. So what is the mind of Krishna? What is Krishna trying to really do? Krishna is trying to teach a lesson. He's trying to say that the Brahmanas, they have the knowledge, they have the austerity, but they have no bhakti. So, I am not interested. The wives, they have no knowledge, apparently, no austerities, but they have a lot of bhakti. I am very much interested. We have heard this. We heard this requirement of Krishna. But Krishna does time and again various pastimes to hit us with this. Even the Rasa Leela pastime is just to teach us, do not be puffed up by feeling that you have possessed. Because this possessiveness, the mindness or the mamata for Krishna, if it is wrongly utilized, then that becomes mamata for myself. That becomes, gets converted into I and mine. And when you have that I and mine feeling, then you cannot get mamata for Krishna. It's not possible. Because there's only one slot and only Krishna. If what is it? Krishna Surya Sama Maya Hoy Andhakar Jahan Krishna Tahan Nei Maharadhikar. Where there's Krishna, there cannot be darkness. So if you are in ignorance, you have to get Krishna, you have to remove that ignorance. That means that mamata will go away. If you are in ignorance of I am the enjoyer, then Krishna is no more in your heart. So Krishna was saying that they have everything but they don't have Krishna. The Brahmanas. But the wives, they have nothing externally, but they have bhakti. They have me. So this is a very, very important lesson that we learn from this pastime. And then Krishna says, on my name, he said, where you go there, my dear coward boy, simply request some food. Declare to them on my name. A very, very interesting point Krishna is making, on my name. And even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Amar Agya Guru Hoyatara Yedesh. On my order, become a guru. Or become a preacher or whatever. On my order. We have this very, very simple yet profound story. We have been hearing since the beginning years of our Krishna consciousness. A rat comes to a sadhu and says, Sadhu Maharaj, please, I am getting tormented by this cat. And they are constantly troubling me. Please make me a cat. The sadhu says, so be it. And then after a few days, again the cat comes to the sadhu and said, Sadhu Maharaj, please, you know, I see that dogs are more powerful. When they bark, I get scared. Why don't you make me a dog? So be it, you become a dog. As in the nearby forest, I hear this roaring, you know, lions, and I get scared. Why don't you make me a lion or a tiger, whatever it is? The sadhu says, so be it, become a tiger. And then the tiger looks at the sadhu with a desire to to finish him. And sadhu says, Punara Mushika Bhava. Again become a rat. Simple story, but a profound lesson. It is on the basis of the mercy of Guru and Krishna, we do what we do. It is the sadhu in our life who is empowering us and energizing us to do whatever we are doing in life. It is on the name of the Guru and Krishna that we do what we do. But the moment we start thinking that we are the doers, the moment we come to the aspect that I am the doer, the mamta for myself, mine, punar mushika bhava, again become a mice.
So this is very important. When Krishna is telling that on the name of Balram and on the name of Krishna, you go and ask, who is Balram? Balram is the representative of the spiritual master. I'm sorry. The spiritual master is the representative of Lord Balram. And Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We are all, by the supreme mercy of Srila Prabhupada, trying to do things on behalf of Guru and Krishna. And what did Krishna and Krishna and Balram told the coward boys? Go and beg some food. And similarly, on the order of the Supreme Guru, our own spiritual master and Srila Prabhupada in our life, they're telling us to do some activities. And by their blessings, by their success, by their blessings, we are finding some success in our lives. The mice-like devotees that I was, we might be doing some wonderful activities, which is not something the mice does, something wonderful, larger activities. But it is all because of the sadhu in your life. But many a times, when you forget this feeling of on my name, we have this feeling that I was trying to understand, is that we are meant to be serving people. But when we are not in a bright consciousness, then we have this two serious disease condition in our heart. And that is using people for things and lack of using oneself for people. Two things. When we become too possessive about yourself, too protective about yourself, too much glorifying yourself, and you forget that you are doing it on the name of Guru and Krishna, then you start using people for things. It is explained by His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj that things are to be used. What is it? We use things and we love people. But when we start loving things, we naturally start using people. So when you come to some level of Krishna consciousness and you are not rightfully situated and not properly grounded, as we said, there's no proper earthing. When you don't have earthing, what happens? You get a shock. So if you don't remain grounded in your life, you don't remain properly earthed in your life, then you get these shocks. Or you create shocks for others by your behavior. When you start behaving in a spiritually rowdy way. When you start throwing your weight around and not understanding that we are representing Guru and Krishna and there is a proper etiquette to behave. As you see the verses, as we read verses, the coward boys who were very, very high level transcendentalists, they were offering respects to the brahmanas who were actually they were mediocre devotees in one sense. But they were following proper Vaishnav etiquette, respect, they offered proper pranams to them, and when they were kicked, they just left very humbly. When they say, go away, they left very humbly. Because there is a high level of responsibility which is there on our heads when you are representing somebody. As it says, what are we called? In one of the purports of Prabhupada writes that we are called the Krishnas, right? The Hare Krishnas. As say, oh, you are the Krishnas or you are the Hare Krishnas. Moment you are going, we say Hare Krishna. So we are representing who? Hare and Krishna, Radha and Krishna. So in our behavior, obviously to the outside world, and much more, or rather equally, in the inside world of our devotee environment, we have to learn to behave in a way that we always remember that we are doing things on the name of Guru and Krishna. It's a beautiful verse. He said, declare to them the name of my elder brother, the Supreme Lord Balram, and also my name. And Prabhupada writes, in case the boys felt that they had no right to personally approach such respectable brahmanas, the Lord told them to mention the names of Krishna and Balram, the holy names of the Lord. As we know, sometimes we go to the station, I said, Bhagwan ke naam pe de de. Right? on the name of God, give me. So we are doing all these activities, whether we're distributing books or collecting donations. By the way, Janmashtami is coming, so this is a good inspiration for all of us.
To go out is just a month away. On if you don't find yourself qualified to go and beg for Krishna, on the name of Guru and Krishna, you should beg and collect funds for Janmashtami. Because very soon we are going to celebrate Janmashtami, we need funds. This is exactly what Krishna is telling them. Go out and beg for me on my name. If you feel shy, if you don't feel qualified, then on my name you beg. Similarly, all of us, you feel shy of how can I do it? I've never done it. Then on name of Guru and Krishna, you approach and then see the wonderful things will happen. So not only in the external activities that we should think that we are doing on behalf of Guru and Krishna, but even the internal mood that we have, we should always remember that we are doing all our activities on behalf of Guru and Krishna, on the name of Guru and Krishna. They are the people who are doing it. And then we will never have the situation of Punar Mushika Bhava. Otherwise, you can be the biggest of tiger-like devotees doing, you know, tiger-like services. But when the sadhu in your life withdraws his mercy, it won't be very long before you can become a very ordinary mice. And it has happened in the history. Now Krishna withdraws his mercy. Because Krishna reciprocates in a very unusual way sometimes. By withdrawing his mercy, and you are left high and dry. You know, like, you know, sometimes you go to this very high-end gardens, and there's this fountain. And this fountain is so high and so fast that they put balls over this water, and the balls just, they don't come down because they're constantly thrown by the waters. It's so powerful. The balls remain. It looks a beautiful sight. But I've seen, you know, when the time is over, the garden is getting closed, they put one switch off. And the water, and the ball, boom, just falls down. And I was seeing this and I got a deep realization. It was a lesson of my life. That whatever power is there is pushing us all up and we are doing all wonderful things up there. But if somebody just puts the switch off, it just goes down. So we should understand, we should constantly be wanting to reciprocate with the devotees. And, you know, we should appreciate people who are so wonderfully reciprocating. There was one of my very dear godbrothers. I won't name him. You know, he was with his spiritual master. He's my godbrother. And he was with his spiritual master just recently. And the whole day he was with the spiritual master. And, you know, there was so much activities happening, around, for service to Srila Prabhupada. And this devotee told me that just one day I was with my spiritual master doing so much activities, reciprocating with people, I got so exhausted. I was not even doing it, I was just with the person who was reciprocating. And I was just so exhausted. I said, this person is very, very very, very organized in his life. He does not sleep a minute in a whole day. He sleeps only in the night. Very organized person. You can ask me privately, I'll tell you his name. I said, on that day, I just knocked out and I had to sleep 2 hours because I was just so exhausted. Then I realized this reciprocating is a very intense activity. You know, so you can imagine what was the power of Srila Prabhupada, who was reciprocating with hundreds and thousands of people simultaneously at that age. And you can understand the power of Krishna. It is exhausting, literally. I mean, you know, if you are on Sundays, you know, many preachers have to smile. It pains this, right? As part of reciprocation, you have to smile. And in the evening, you feel like, my God, it's paining. I said, don't talk to me. That means just remain because you are so exhausted reciprocating. I mean, reciprocating means just dealing with people, right? Just for a few hours. And you have cheek pains and you have, you said, let me, I want a break. But just imagine, Krishna has no break. Krishna doesn't say that, give me a break, man. I don't want to reciprocate anybody now. Can you imagine if that happens? We are finished. But Krishna is you see this. Gopis are over, stat, trees, then coward boys, then the wives. And this is ongoing, constant reciprocation. What a Lord we have. And how much we should appreciate the great devotees of the Lord. Srila Prabhupada and all his wonderful representatives who are just giving their life out at the cost of their lives to reciprocate and enthuse us in our devotional service. And how much more we should also learn from their example in spite of it not being our habit.
How much we should go all over the way, in a very minute way, reciprocating with the love that Srila Prabhupada has shown us, and with the love that devotees are showing us to reciprocate by giving back much more than what we have received. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Is there any comments, any questions, any corrections? Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada ki, Nitai Gaura Premanandi.